Okay. Lord, we just thank you for another time of fellowship and sharing what you've given us, Lord. We're so thankful, Lord, for the privilege of being with these wonderful brothers and sisters tonight and to feed upon your precious holy word, Lord, to talk about the things of the word. We thank you again, Lord, for your great, mighty, and Holy Spirit, Lord, that you sent to indwell in each and every one of us, to be our teacher, to be our leader, to be our guide. We trust you implicitly, Lord, to live big in each and every one of us. We want to be bold as a lion, Lord, just like Jesus was. And Father, we just praise you and glorify you, Lord, for all that's going to be accomplished tonight in this wonderful group of people, of your brother, of your sons and daughters here. In Jesus' name, we'll praise you, and we'll thank you, and we'll give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Let me let George and iPad Judy in. Okay, somebody hollered at me. I think it was Joe.
Yeah, I was just saying, Dave was teaching on Sunday, but very good background with a bird there. It was something different.
Oh, you noticed, huh?
Hey, that's nice. I love birds. Good yeah. Background.
Missy Pagley.
Carolina Wren's singing.
She said it was a Carolina Wren that was singing that. We got a bunch of those around here.
Oh, it's lovely. So,
yeah. We got cardinals and chickadees and titmouses and, oh gosh, all kinds of birds here. Tanagers, southern tanagers.
Was David sitting outside?
We ain't got no chicken. What?
David sitting outside with a Bible study on, or still inside?
Well, his chair sits right next to the window where broadcasts from, and it's not hard for those things. There's a tote right outside of his window, and they probably sit on that and decide to see what a Carolina Wren's doing up there. Well, we call them Sunshine Mountain Wrens. How's that? Go ahead, Missy.
I like to watch them. They're cute little birds, and they're spunky little guys.
Mm-hmm. Really? They'll make a nest anywhere.
Will they?
Yeah, we've got a basket that I used to have a plant in it, and they just went ahead and made a nest in that and had kids. And then I had a fake asparagus plant. It was a decorative asparagus plant. Up, you know, like I hang them around the porch, and one of them made a nest there and raised kids out of it, so they don't mind. Praise God, Clay. All right, who's got a prayer request? Who's got a prayer request?
Good, we do.
Okay, let me get Missy first. She's over there waving.
Yeah, it's fine.
Long story short.
I hope.
I had a dream. And come to find out, long story short, I cast lots. I went and I wrote it all down and got verses and everything for it. And then something basically made me believe that it wasn't a dream from the Lord, that it was the enemy messing with my dreams, witchcraft or whatever. So I'm like, okay, Lord, I want a straight answer. Was that from you? Got two tails for a no. And I have that now and then. more often than not, you know, it seems like I really had the enemy mess with my dreams. And I'd like prayer on that. It's now, I haven't had it happen in a while, but once in a while I'll get a dream or two that, see, and I didn't realize this wasn't from the enemy. I there wasn't anything that made me think that it wasn't from the enemy to cause me to really ask the Lord, you know? So I would like prayer on that.
Go ahead, Marilyn.
Okay. I didn't mean to interrupt, but I was just going to say the same thing happened to me night before last. I had a really terrible dream, and in a dream about me being rejected by the Lord, and you know, I was pretty upset about it, and I got, you know, asked for a verse, and finally I was taking it as some major, you know, correction and everything. But then I asked the Lord when I got ready to pray yesterday afternoon, I just said, Lord, I just have to know, was this dream about me? You know, was this really me in this dream? And I got two tails for no. So I'm just saying that the very same thing happened to me. So if you're going to pray for Missy, would you pray for me too, please?
Well, I'm going to pray for everybody. Julie had one too. Claire had one too. I had one a couple of nights ago. So it's witchcraft. That's what it is. In the name of Jesus right now, we block the enemy from interfering with any of our dreams, our visions, or anything like that. And we thank you, Father, that it is done. We bind up that demon and cast him out of here in the name of Jesus, that from now on our dreams are from you, Lord. And we thank you for it. Lord, we thank you for placing angels around all of your dreamers and to make sure that there is no interference with their dreams in Jesus' name. Now, I know sometimes, Lord, you test us to see, and that's fine, but I think people are getting the knowledge that when's a good dream, when's a bad dream. And they're wise enough to ask you, Lord, and we thank you for your confirming words, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that this is not going to happen again. We block those demons right now in the name of Jesus from everybody's dreams and visions. In Jesus' name, amen. That's done deal.
I was pray something specific. I forbid that factious to give factious witchcraft dreams. Use witchcraft to give us dreams that aren't from you, and from you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And I cast it all down in the name of Jesus. And thank you, Lord, and I praise you, Lord, for good dreams. And amen. Discernment, Lord, give us all discernment to know right away, Lord, if it's from you, Lord, and to know in a relatively short time, Lord, if it's from you or not, so that we're not wasting our time and all in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. That's done. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Long story short, thank you, Jesus. Praise God. It is done, Lord. It is done. It is done. It is done. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Okay. I believe iPad Judy's next.
Yes. Well, Charlie and Linda stopped here today. They have to be out of their house tomorrow. And they've got a few things, their mattress and some clothes and some stuff, and a couple big ladders that they need to get out. I got a hold of Tim, and he's going to go there tomorrow. Bless Tim. Lord. But they're going to go to Cleveland for a week or so, and they've got a couple houses they're looking at here. So they just asked if we, when we got on Zoom, if we would pray for them, because they needed to get a house soon and they need to get everything out tomorrow and be done with it. So Lord, we just lift up Charlie and Linda to you. We ask that you guide them as the way you want them to be, go and do. We thank you that they are going to be out of their house, even though it's a late notice, but we're just glad that you can get them out of there. And we thank you that Tim's going to go and help them in the morning. We thank you for that. We thank you that they'll be safe in Cleveland, but not be there for a real long time, that they will find the house that you want them to be in, here in or near Madisonville, so that they can fellowship more with us and be with us. So Lord, we ask these things, and we ask for these people that come up there in the night, that they don't come up tonight, and they don't bother the new people that are going to be moving in there. And we thank you for all that you're doing for Charlie and Linda, and giving them peace. Give them peace and understanding, and let them know that you're with them and that you're guiding and protecting them. And Sue, is there anything more that you want to add?
They mentioned about that the one that bought it was seemed like this last time that he saw, that Charlie saw him, he seemed kind of perturbed about something. And he didn't know if it had anything to do with them or not, but he wanted us to pray about that too. Well, so Lord, I just lift that up, and I pray whatever the problem may be with this buyer, that you would give him your peace, Lord, and give Charlie your peace and Linda your peace, and that when they move in, that there won't be any trouble, like Judy had said, from the neighbors, that there are no problems, no trouble or anything, Father. I thank you, Father, you'll take that all away. And that you would just take care of every situation and bring forth a solution to every problem, so that they can leave in peace, and they can, and that the buyers will be at peace too. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Okay. Anyone else? Anybody? Praise report or testimony. Slow week, huh? Go ahead, Marilyn.
Okay.
Well, last Thursday we prayed for our daughter Jenny. She had this huge golf ball sized cyst on her foot, right near her ankle. And we prayed about it, and anyway, yesterday afternoon, something happened, and it went down by about 2/3, and so it's definitely it's not bothering her like it was. And Father, I just want to thank you that the good work you started here in healing up her foot, which I think is also symbolic of her walk with you, Lord, that you do a quick work, and that it's completely finished, and that this thing is completely gone. I command the sac of this cyst to just completely disintegrate, and it's not gonna it's gonna be completely free of all fluid, and there's not gonna be any new accumulation of fluid in there. And Father, I thank you and praise you for that. And I pray also that you would put Jenny's heart at rest, that this is really, really healed, and it's really completely gone. And Lord, I just thank you for your mercy. I thank you so much for your mercy. And Lord, your loving kindness, not only towards Jenny, but towards all of us. It's all by your grace. None of us deserve it, but you are a very loving God and faithful Father. So I just thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Yeah. Go ahead, Julie.
I have a praise report too. Tuesday night, you all prayed with me about the red flag warning that the county had issued because they were anticipating the winds to kick up and make it very dangerous where the fire has been and is, and they haven't fully contained it yet. We prayed against it. And yesterday I checked, I guess it was early afternoon. I can't remember exactly what time, but at noon yesterday, the winds had abated and they canceled the red flag warning completely. So I just want to give God all the glory for answering our prayers. And we thank you, Lord. We still need rain out here, and I know you're going to send it. And we just thank you for doing that in Jesus' name. Put these fires out. We praise you. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Okay, Malcolm.
I just wanted to thank the Lord for what he's done here with this fire. As you may remember, it was a cold front coming down from the north that was so violent. But since then, it's been quite cold, like 50 degrees at night. And then in the daytime, it hasn't always been that warm. And then no wind at all. So I just praise the Lord that you just kind of stopped everything. And so, you know, if there's no wind, the fires don't move that quickly. So anyway, just like to praise the Lord for that. Also for helping me to learn to have some faith. Yesterday I saw this smoke plume come up behind the ridge at our house here. And it was coming up kind of, it was unusual. So I went around to a different angle to see where it was coming up behind the ridge behind there. I don't know. I just realized it was quite close and it didn't look good. And I started hurriedly trying to get water for our house here. But I noticed I was clenching my teeth a lot. I thought, what's that about? You know, it's like fear was rising up. So I had to really cast that down. And it's funny how when you you think you have faith and then you get stuck in a situation and like, oh dear. So it's just really important to be walking with the Lord and walking in faith. So anyway, I just like to praise the Lord for his patience and whatnot with me.
Amen. Lord, we just thank you for a nice, strong, heavy rain in all of those areas, Lord. Douse out the fire in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Hey, Malcolm, question for you about the fire. Are they getting a handle on it?
In this area?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was in the process of trying to mute my phone, so I didn't. But, because I didn't catch quite what you said. But, no, we have... they brought in outside agencies. They've taken over management of the fire, so it's been very. In fact, the town where we are here is just inundated with all these tents and command post, and then they have a place for a chopper to land, and all kinds of resources are showing up. So it's quite a blessing. Plus, with the calmness of the wind, I mean the lack of wind, it's everything's wonderful. So it's still going, it's still moving toward us about I don't know, a few hundred or maybe a few maybe a thousand, couple thousand yards a day, but they're trying to contain it. So there's a house right along the road that is probably 1,000 feet from where it has come to now, but they've made a road, they've bulldozed a road right through there. So I think they just want to bring it to that road that break that they've made there and just have it burn everything out. So if the winds come up, it won't be jumping.
Amen. Okay, anyone else? Thank you, Malcolm.
Michael?
Yes.
I noticed that they've been having some outside Let Us Worship places with Sean Faust, I guess that's his name. And it's been in Seattle, it's been in San Diego, Sacramento, a couple other places in California, New York City, just different places he's been coming around to bring revival, worship who? Outside. Sean Faust.
I don't guess I know who he is.
F-A-U-C-H-T. I don't probably not pronouncing it right. They've been singing outside with over 1,000 people in each time. And they've been, you know, praising and worshiping. People have been all the people are lifting up their hands. They seem very active when they're doing it. And they've done baptism. You see them doing baptisms with the people and stuff, kids and even adults. And so I'd like to pray about that.
Okay, is he an evangelist?
Evidently.
Okay. Well, I didn't know. I've never heard of him.
I know. I didn't know about him until I saw that. It's been in a lot of the areas where there's been riots, and you know, Portland, Oregon, and Portland and Seattle, like I said, and New York City, a couple other places. But
okay.
Lord, I just thank you, Father, for this brother and the group of people that are working with him. I just pray that everything that they're doing. I know even all they were giving prayer to people and for healing and stuff. I just pray, Father, that this is of you and that it is bringing people closer to you, those that have had you and maybe have been in a nominal church. But I just pray that you would revive them and those that got baptized, that they would stay true. You would bring them in further, all of these people that have been affected by it, that you would just bring them further into you, Lord, because I believe that you want people to be seeing the truth and being set free and want them to be revived. So I just pray that you just continue to work in their hearts and their minds, all those people that were got saved and got delivered, and that they would continue to go on with you, Lord, in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Yes,
Lord, thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Lord, if he doesn't have the truth, I'm asking you to give it to him in the name of Jesus. As long as he's bringing people to Jesus, that's fine.
Amen. Michael, I have a praise report.
Okay.
I believe it was last Thursday, you prayed for my daughter that had been knocked out when she was younger by a man, knocked out cold. And it left her with severe damage to her neck and so forth. But she said today that ever since the prayer that the dizziness and the pain and the confusion in her head has diminished, almost completely gone. But she said today that it definitely began to subside after the prayer from last week.
Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Father, Lord of God. Thank you, Father, for doing that for Kathleen's daughter, in Jesus' name. Praise you, Father. Amen. I believe it. I believe she's going to be completely healed, and she's going to be given the glory to God. Amen. All right, anyone else? Okay. Yes, Julie.
I have a prayer request. It just reminding me of Kathleen's testimony there. Would you all pray for me? For my shoulder, my left shoulder, right through here. I don't know what it is. I didn't injure myself. I don't know what it is, but it flares up at different times and causes me not to be as mobile as I need to be. I won't go into details, but God knows. Okay. And I'm thinking it's already done. I've been standing in faith for a few weeks for it to go, but I haven't asked for prayer until now. So thank you.
All right. Amen. If there's anybody that doesn't have faith to believe what we're fixing to do, y'all go somewhere else for a minute. We fixed to pray for Julie. In the name of Jesus right now. I don't know what this is causing this, but you've got to go in the name of Jesus right now. You go from her. You pain, you discomfort, you go and leave her and don't come back. She is a child of the living God, bought by the blood of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
And she don't have to put up with it, and we don't either. We don't. We just command you to leave her. And don't come back in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that she is healed.
Praise you, Lord.
By the stripes of Jesus. Praise you, Father.
Praise
thank you, Lord. She won't have this problem anymore in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Glory to God.
Praise you, Lord. Thank you for healing our bodies, Father.
Yes,
thank you, Lord, for healing our bodies, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, my.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Salvation.
Amen.
Lord, so great a salvation. Thank you, Jesus.
You got something? Oh, okay. Not you. I was talking about Greg. He had something up on his forehead, but that was his glasses. I didn't see what it was. Yeah. So he's got a headband on or something. Okay. I see my automatic glasses. Okay. You're healed, girl. Yeah, Tim.
I was kind of reluctant to ask, but I need a healing as well. I had something go haywire in my right ankle the other night, Tuesday night, I guess it was. And I thought it was a torn or sheath on my Achilles tendon or something like that. But I'm having a real hard time getting around and a real hard time carrying anything. And I've been, you know, believing that the Lord's just going to take it away. But I need to take it away on an expedited schedule with what I got going on tomorrow. I got Isaiah dialed in to help me up there. But I come to the Lord and ask and thank him for healing my right ankle. That inflammation is going to go, the pain's going to go, and I'll be able to walk at a reasonable pace and carry things. And that I'm healed. I know I'm healed. I just I need the manifestation soon. So thank you, Lord. I appreciate it. I praise your name. And I believe that healing is coming tonight. So thank you, Lord.
Amen. Lord, we just hook our faith up with 10. Lord, we believe it's already done in Jesus' name. That ankle is healed in the name of Jesus. We command that pain to go right now in Jesus' name. We command healing in every part of that ankle right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for doing that for 10, that he is completely healed. And we praise you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, that his ankle is completely healed in Jesus' name already. Already. Thank you, Father. Glory. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise you, Lord. Glory, glory, glory. Ooh, my. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Go ahead, Theo or Lana.
Hey, I wanted to ask for prayer as well. I have prayed about this. I'm asking for y'all to join me in believing that I'm healed. I think I've tracked down what the issue could be, but I am rejecting it. The side effects include a lot of fatigue and a great lack of energy, and it just doesn't do it when you've got two toddlers. And so, once again, I'm just asking for everybody to believe that I'm healed and the Lord will take care of the rest of the side effects as well, and that I don't have to go looking for any supplements or anything like that to help me out. So thank you, Father God, for your mighty mercy on me and the healing that I have already received from your hand, Father God, because by your stripes you say we are healed. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen. Lord, we thank you that she's healed, Tam's healed, everybody that's healed that we prayed for. Julie's healed. Kathleen's daughter's healed. Everybody's healed that asked for it tonight in Jesus' name. And we just praise you, Father. Glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We command the enemy to go from everybody in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. We take that shield and that sword and we whack at the devil right now in Jesus' name. You get out of here. You get out of this fellowship and don't even try to come back. In Jesus' name, we send out the angels right now to start whacking on them in Jesus' name. Amen. We just ask and we pray, Father, that you have a hedge of protection around everybody here in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise be to God forevermore. Thank you, Lord. Lana's healed completely. Amen.
Michael?
Yes.
We have one more healing.
Okay.
For, and I have this thing on the back of my head. I don't know what it is, but since I got a haircut, it became really visible. And I really don't want to go to some doctor to get lasered in the head or whatever they do, get rid of dermatology stuff. So you can add me to that prayer and I accept that healing, Christ.
Amen.
But his stripes were healed. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Did you say it was a sore on the back of your head?
I don't know if it's a mole that went benign or went haywire or something, but there's something back there.
Well, not anymore. In Jesus' name, we command it to go. In the name of Jesus, we command you to drop and go right now in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you for your testimonies the next time we get together, Lord, because it's all going to be happening in Jesus' name. We just thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. Ooh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Lord, let your healing power rain down on this fellowship right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, all who want it can receive it. Father, I thank you for it. Just rain down your healing power upon this whole fellowship, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah, glory, hallelujah, glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Father, that the enemy has been scattered. We thank you, Lord, that every infirmity has been healed in Jesus' name. Every one of them. Every one of them. And Lord, we thank you for putting bold faith in each and every one of us to be healed. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. You're an awesome God. You're a wonderful God. You're the God of all creation. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, my. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. Because you say that no weapon that's formed against us shall prosper, and every tongue that rises against us in judgment, we condemn right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. Praise God forevermore. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds all over this planet. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. We take that shield of faith and quench every fiery dart of the enemy in the name of Jesus. And we take that sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, and defeat the enemy with it right now in Jesus' mighty name. Because we're redeemed from the curse of the law. We're redeemed from sickness and all attacks from the enemy in the name of Jesus. We overcome because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Praise God forevermore. We're delivered from the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Praise you, God, forevermore. And we don't have the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. We're blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We are the righteousness of God in Christ. We've got favor with God, and we've got favor with man. And we praise you, Father, that everybody here has received that healing that you have already given us in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, forevermore. Thank you, Lord. Glory, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. I don't care what y'all said. Y'all are healed. In Jesus' name. Amen. Woo, my. Go ahead, Julie.
Well, I just want to share a testimony that
when Theo was asking for prayer for whatever was on the back of his head, a mole or whatever. I have had, probably within a year, year and a half, I have had so many trials with my skin. I had something on my back. I couldn't see what it was. Obviously, it felt like, you know, whatever. It was sore. It was kind of painful. And I didn't know if it was a mole or some kind of growth. But Barry and Marilyn prayed for me and commanded that thing to fall off. And it did. I don't know how it came off or where it fell off, but it did. I had a growth on my forehead right up here. It was there and it kept getting bigger. And then it would dry up and it would get kind of, it was painful. And it just, same kind of thing. It fell off. Lord, I'm like, Lord, what do I do? I've been praying for this. He's like, just command to fall off. And I did. And I just had to stand in faith for that. Within a couple of days, it was gone. I've had other infirmities with my skin with, lately it's been, just severe dry patches, swelling, itches, rashes. I don't know what it is, but I just, you know, our skin is our largest organ, I believe. And, you know, it's shedding all the time, but it's like, you know, it's dust, it's the flesh, you know, but it's still, I've just had so many infirmities with trials with that, with the skin. So you just hang in there, brother. It's gone. It's already gone.
Amen.
God, there's nothing he won't do for us.
Praise That's you. Right, because God's given us the authority and the dominion.
That's right.
Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. You're healed, Julie. Amen. Yeah, Denny, go ahead, brother.
Yeah, we want to keep our grandson Jonah in prayer yet to continue on. We thought he was having like a stroke the other day, and we prayed for him, but he ended up, she took him in to the hospital, and he's had a shunt, you know, going from his cranial area all the way down. It drains into his stomach because when he was born, the cranial fluid is supposed to drain out, and of course it replaces itself, but right over the drainage area where it drains out, a cyst was growing and it plugged up the drainage tube. But what wasn't working, they tried to shrink the cyst. I don't know, they didn't like go in to operate and cut it out. I don't know what they did exactly, but and so they put a shunt in, you know, which is a drain itself. And then just this last week, Tuesday, that he was definitely was affected physically. And so she had took him in and they checked out that shunt. And yeah, sure enough, that cyst was growing again and interfering with what they had in there already. So they end up putting in a second drainage thing in the cyst itself, because it's like liquid inside to make it drain. So anyway, so that's where it's at right now, and they're trying to. We're wanting to pray God would just dissolve that thing, that it wouldn't even be there, you know. But we just need to. I don't know. So want to have faith to believe for that.
Amen.
You know.
All right, Lord, we're just thinking that it's already done.
Yes, God.
That you've already done, Lord. Well, you've already done it for yes. Jonah. And we thank you for it,
Father. Right up that cyst. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. They'll have to pull them shunts out because he's normal. Yes, in Jesus' name. No, Lord, I just ask that you dissolve them. No, don't let them go back in there. Yes. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. He's going to be smarter than everybody around him. Not only that, he's going to be healthy. And Father, we just praise you and we thank you that he is completely healed from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord, for doing that to Jonah. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Come out of that whale, Jonah, in Jesus' name.
Yes, amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Next. Anyone else? Yes, Claire.
I have, it's a testimony, but then it's also like a little prayer request. When we moved into this house in January 2018, we were plagued with wasps and we didn't do anything about it. We literally just stood in the house and told them to go in the name of Jesus. And they did, in that they never, they were around, but they didn't really come into the house. They came into, we've got like a patio area, and they came in there and they wouldn't do anything to us. And we would open the door and chase them out and they'd go. So they never hurt anyone. And then that summer, everyone I know in the whole town was hurt by wasps and stung by wasps, but we weren't at all. And then one morning I went in to go run in this little patio area that we have. I have a treadmill, and there were about 30 wasps, and they were all coming at me, but they didn't hurt me. They just sort of went around me. And then I was okay for about 30 seconds, and I got a bit scared. I even sent David this testimony. So I just closed the door and I went and ran outside, which I never do because that means I have to leave my children at home. But I just went for a quick run up the road and down. And then I came back and they were gone. I'd left the door open and they all went out. And now what's happening, so that was in 2018, 2019. Now we're almost at the end of 2020. And the wasps are less frequent, but they're in our living space. Like they're now, I don't know if there's a... if there's a nest somewhere, or I don't really care. I just care that they're in the house and we all walk around with our feet, you know, on the carpet or whatever. Yesterday I had to stun three of them before taking them outside. I unfortunately killed one. And there's one flying around now, which I don't really want to get up and go and kill while I'm supposed to be here. So I'd rather just have us all agree that these things will leave.
Okay. I tell you what, let's do. Let's agree that they die. Every one of them that come in the house dies.
Yes.
Amen. In the name of Jesus, right now, we declare and decree it that every wasp that tries to come into that house dies before it gets in there. And the ones that are in there right now are dead in Jesus' name. And all she has to do is sweep them up or vacuum them up in Jesus' name. And we thank you for it, Father, that none of the kids are... or Clara, Rion, either one are going to get stung by any of these beasts in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you have cleansed that house of wasps in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. I had five of them sting me one time. It last year, year before last, I don't know. I pulled over my garage door. Out back, and they had a big old wasp nest right up there on the door. And when I pulled it open, man, they got after me. And before I could get out of the way, they hit me five times around the head area and on my neck. And I just prayed them off. I said, not gonna get one swelling in Jesus' name. Never bothered me. The initial sting hurt, but after that, it was gone. It was gone. God did a miracle on that. I just thought that was so cool. But guess who won the battle? Who won the war? Michael did. I did, bless God. I had some of that good stuff. It squirts about 30 feet away. And I whacked him. Amen. That's right, Judy. Healing our heart, Tracy said. I'm trying to read all the chats, trying to catch up on all the chats here. Amen. Judith says, we draw a bloodline around the perimeter of Claire and Rion's house and forbid any more wasps and the like from entering in again. Any varmints, stay out in the name of Jesus. Any varmints or critters. Amen. Yeah.
We make that a warning to all of them. They come, they pass that line, they're going to die. Let that be the notice.
Amen. We just declare that their job is to pollinate everything. That's not to go anywhere but the flowers and the vegetables. And do that. And matter of fact, we just command them to get away and the bees just come back. That's what we have. We have trouble. We don't have bees, or hadn't have, but they started coming back this year. Praise God for that. Okay, anyone else? And I don't know, I feel real light right now. Feel like I want to get up and dance. I know we got the victory. Amen. Thank you, Lord. I don't know if y'all know this or not, but I just got this in today from some kind of news source. Trump's been doing some secret things in these Democrat cities, and he calls it Operation Legend after the little boy that got killed somewhere. I don't remember where. And he gave a speech the other day, and he said the results, and it's a task force of federal agents that goes into these cities and cleans them up. And he went to Chicago. Here's what happened. The results of those actions speak for themselves. Over the first 5 weeks of Operation Legend in Chicago, murders dropped by 50% over the previous 5 weeks. August ultimately saw a 45% decrease in murders compared to July, and a 35% decrease compared to June. And Barr announced the launch of Operation Legend on July the 8th in 2020, which was named in honor of a four-year-old child, Legend Talaferro, who was shot and killed on June 29th in Kansas City. Needless to say, riots have not emerged over the tragic death of this child, illustrating the total hypocrisy in the BLM movement and all its adherents. He says that the Department of Justice, Operation Legend, is a sustained, systematic, and coordinated law enforcement initiative in which federal law enforcement agencies work in conjunction with state and local law enforcement officials to fight violent crime. And given the statistics cited above, it's clear that the key objective, fighting violent crime, has been roundly achieved under the stewardship of Trump. They're designed to assist local law enforcement that has become completely overwhelmed by a sudden onslaught of violence, particularly when local ultra-liberal mayors and other city council members do not seem overly inclined to support police departments. On the contrary, they oftentimes advocating defunding them or altogether abolishing them. That's just ignorance gone to seed, man. I'm telling you, that's just crazy. Anyway, they are doing a fantastic job with this thing that Trump has organized and sent out to help those cities that won't help. And they're saying Portland is just it's a waste. It's a waste. They've got a bunch of crazy people up there. It's just crazy. But the people who want it, he's sending them in there, and they are taking care of business. Praise God. What they're doing, they're going in there arresting the people that they've turned loose. That's what I'm thinking. You know, they'll arrest somebody for a violent crime, and then they'll turn around, district attorney or the judge will turn them loose. But anyway, they've rounded about, I forget how many MS-13 people that they have sent back out of this country. It was in the thousands that they sent out. Praise God. Lord, we just thank you that you're helping them drain the swamp. People are opening their eyes to see the difference between the red and the blue cities. In Jesus' name. Lord, we know what you're doing now. Thank you, Lord. Fixing to come a great awakening. Clean them up, Lord. That's right. Okay. Anybody else got something they want to comment on or talk about? I think we were going to. Yeah, Missy.
Somebody sent me a video from Dutch Sense, and it sure looks like there's DEW weapons being used in California to start these fires.
Oh, really?
He discovered, and when he was doing something, these beams going to where there were fires.
He's pretty good at that.
At one case. And if there's one, I ain't going to stop at one. So let's pray that
That's
down.
The deep state. That sounds like the deep state. Do.
In the name of Jesus, Lord, I just ask you to send forth your angels. Do whatever it takes. Expose these DEW weapons being used. And bring them to justice. I ask in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, for doing that. And then we just command, Lord, that what they're doing, turn back on their own heads in Jesus' name. And we just thank you and praise you, Lord, for being our defender. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Do. Is a energy weapon. I forget what the D stand for. What does it mean, Dare Barry?
Directed energy weapon.
Yeah, directed energy weapon. Yeah. They did a little town. One I saw that was just obvious was a little town down in Louisiana here a couple of years ago. They just went down through there just popping stuff. With that beam, you could see it. I mean, it was obvious.
Paradise, California also.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
It did there also.
You're going to have to get you a
speaker. I don't remember how many weeks ago.
Huh?
I don't know how many weeks ago, but I went looking at the pictures of the recent fires then. To see, you know, like news broadcasts to see if they looked funny because, you know, like everything's incinerated except for the trees around them. I mean, come on, like houses and stuff. And were some pictures that looked like that.
Yep. Okay. What's next? Yes, Marilyn.
Go.
Yeah, I'd like to take just a minute. You had mentioned Portland, and I know that there's a lot of wickedness there. But I believe the Lord also has some of his people there as well. I'd looked at, just did a quick search right before I got on, and I think there's like 100 fires in Portland right now. You know, in the city, and they're evacuating neighborhoods. And they're saying that these are set by, you know, arson. Barry may know more about that. I know he's read some on the alternative news sites. Did you want to say anything, sweetie?
There's especially, you know, in the Portland area, of course, but in the outlying areas up and down I-5, there's been a huge amount of fires in there. They've arrested some of the people. They've actually caught them, and they believe that they're all linked to Antifa activity. And so the lion's share of these fires we're seeing now, especially in Portland, are arson. And Kate Brown, the governor of Oregon, was on the news this afternoon saying these fires are caused by global warming. So there you go.
Oh my goodness, yeah. That's a communist way, isn't it?
It's arson, and they're trying to create as much havoc as they can, and it's really pretty obvious, and it's really really disgusting, and they're really doing Satan's work out there.
Yeah. Amen.
But I'd like to. Are we muted?
No,
okay. I'd just like to pray against this. I'd like to. Father, I lift up the people to Portland to you. I pray, Lord, that if Portland's on fire, they're on fire for Jesus. I thank you for that report of the revival there in Portland. And Father, you know, you have had in the past, you have had godly men in the Portland area. John G. Lake was there for a number of years. Henry Groover lived there for a number of years. I know Malcolm lived there for a while. And Father, I believe you still have godly people there. And Father, I pray for protection for the righteous, for the elect. I pray for protection and I pray for mercy. Father, for those that are in authority, that won't do what's right, Father, I pray you would get their attention. And if you need to do it on a personal level, that you would do that. We don't want to pray curses on anyone. But Father, for these that are cursing the innocent, these people in authority that aren't doing what they should be doing, I pray you would get their attention. Just all their plans, all their witchcraft, we cast it back on top of them, send it back where they came from. In the authority of the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we bind up these spirits of lawlessness, anarchy, rebellion. In the authority of the mighty name of Jesus, we command all this arson activity to cease.
Amen.
In the authority of the mighty name of Jesus. Father, I'm praying and believing that we're commanding, Lord, that the people that have done this and are doing this, that they're going to get caught.
Amen.
And just put out a commission. And Lord, if any of them are yours, let them sit in jail and let them repent and get saved.
Amen.
But Lord, we do pray for mercy and we do pray for rain. It is so dry here, Father. It's so dry in the natural and in the spirit. And we are praying for the sound of abundance of rain. And we're just praying for mercy. And Father, I do pray for my neighbor across the street that took his roof off and doesn't have a roof over his house right now, that you will help him get his roof on really quick, because I've been reluctant to pray in the rain when he has no roof over his head. So I pray that you're going to help him get finished with that really quick. You give him plenty of help. And we really want to love our neighbor as ourselves. But Father, we really, really need the rain. And so, Lord, we thank you for sending it. And to God be the glory. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. What's he putting a new roof on it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, he's got the old one off, and it's just totally exposed. So if it rains right now, it's just going to ruin the inside of his house.
Mm. Thank you, Lord, for getting that roof on there real quick. And as soon as he puts the last nail in there, Lord, we thank you for a pour down. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Okay. All right, Malcolm, go ahead, brother.
Yeah, my son lives up in Vancouver, just across from Portland. And he said what he understands is happening is that Antifa folks are are starting fires and then wait till it gets to a level 3 evacuation, and then they go through and loot the homes while the people are gone. And they're doing this up, this is according to him, they're doing this all up and down the Highway 5 corridor. And also Sandy is being threatened. You've probably heard this also. But
who's so being threatened?
The town of Sandy, it's east of Portland going toward Mount Hood. And also there are fires around the Mount Hood area as well.
Okay.
So, but yeah, there's quite a concerted effort to loot as many homes. I've read articles on how they really recommend looting because it's fun and it can make you rich. So,
who recommends
it's really sad. Well, the folks that are doing it, they're promoting it, and whether they're in the government or in the part of these organizations.
They ought to be locked up.
Yeah, yeah, but it's amazing what's become acceptable in these circles.
Lord, lock them up. Drain the swamp, Lord. We ask that in the name of Jesus. Put these criminals in jail and the ones that are promoting it too.
Amen. Have you I've been making a connection between Joel 2, the Lord's army, and these folks. I saw a picture, as probably most of you saw, this picture of these the riders that came into a town. Maybe it was Richfield or something, Richland. But anyway, they were up on the roof. And immediately I thought of Joel 2, where they enter in through the windows and nobody can stop them. And that's why we need to be in prayer and fasting. And so anyway, that kind of struck me when I saw that picture. I don't know what the rest of you think. I've just, I don't know if, have you, the rest of you heard about Dana somebody, is a pastor in Kentucky,
who Dana saw Coverstone.
September, the map of September. And
Dana Coverstone.
Coverstone, yeah, yeah. I've heard any discussion
here
on that.
He's an apostate preacher.
Huh.
Yeah.
He's so you think
patriotic.
Yeah, I know he's pretty.
Get me a gun, I'm going to shoot somebody kind of guy.
Uh-oh. I haven't heard anything about him, really. So.
Well, he misinterprets everything he's got. Well, a lot of the stuff that he's got, he misinterprets it because he doesn't know the Word of God. But anyway.
I've read somebody else's interpretation of his dreams, and I've had to kind of pick and choose, you know.
Yeah.
Because you know, there's rapture stuff in there and all kinds of things.
Yeah. Yeah, he was on with Stan Johnson the other day, or maybe a few months ago, talking about this great thing is fixed. These lions were coming into the churches and stuff, or something like that. I don't know. And actually,
I know he's gotten tremendous amount of black mustache in churches.
Yeah. Well, actually, what it is, it's God doing it, taking out the apostate churches. That's the interpretation. That's what, you know, David looked at it and he said, well, it looks like to me like the Lord's fixing a clean house in the churches.
I pray so.
Amen. Okay. What else, Malcolm? Is that it? Okay. Anybody else? Hey, Dave. What's up, buddy? Everything copacetic?
Oh, yeah. Yep, just listening to everything. Getting the world news here, I tell you.
Man, yeah. Oh, that's something that I haven't really been into here recently. I kind of backed off of the news quite a bit. I get what people tell me. Okay, now what? Claire's got a word. Praise God forevermore. Go ahead, girl.
I don't have a word, but I want to pick up from where we left off on Tuesday, because we were talking about Ephesians 3, those two last verses that we looked at, I think 20 and 21. And I had the question, not necessarily for me, because I know what I believe, but for other people that might be listening and might still have that idea of the Trinity. When they read those two verses, it might trip them up because they might not know who the power is from and who it comes from and who's manifesting it, and it might be confusing. So I thought if we could just have just clear that up maybe. I know you spoke about it last week, Thursday, in your slot that you had on the Bible teaching. And then David spoke about the same two verses on
it would have, it's my Monday. I get them on Monday mornings, but I suppose it's your Sunday. Okay. So I have listened to that and we've done a word study on it, but I'd like to hear from everyone else. Well, not necessarily everyone, but on people from anyone who would like to share about that.
You're talking about 20 and 21?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll go ahead and read it and then we'll get your everybody's comment on it or whoever wants to comment on it. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, unto him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus unto all generations forever and ever. Amen. All right. I need to hear somebody's commentary on those two verses. Oh, it's going to be a slow night. Amen.
I would say first, just the way this starts, it says, to him that is able to exceedingly above and beyond all we ask or think, above all. And David made a comment recently, I was listening, and he said, whatever our expectations are, whatever we're thinking about for, especially in our spiritual life, walk, and belief for, go expect more. Always expect more than what you're asking for. And that kind of puts it in line with what Paul's saying here. Because he's able to exceedingly go beyond above all, then we should be expecting more also. And that kind of gives us, rather than diminishing a wall, we'll expect just a little, maybe a little hope. No, expect it all. Expect even more beyond what you can think of, ask for. And then that's one, the first thing we're looking at on this, what he's saying here, before we even get into the power. So I just wanted to bring that out.
Now, in other words, don't put God in a box, what he can do through you.
You know, that's the thing is, I think we have a tendency to limit our belief of what God's going to do for us. We feel humbled or feel like maybe it's a lack of faith. We just don't feel that genuineness about him coming through for us. So we put our expectations low. And that's not the way we're supposed to do it. We're supposed to take and put our expectations out there as far as we can see and let God fill that.
Amen.
Amen. That's boldly have faith that God and trust God. Boldly. Go ahead, Julie.
To add just to what Dave said, I think we are limited because of how we may view ourselves in the sight of God, in place of seeing ourselves as sons and daughters of the Most High, who chose us, who gave us everything and will hold nothing back. He withholds no good thing from us. But somehow I think we limit him because of how we think about ourselves, or we don't deserve it, or we're still thinking in a natural, thinking naturally as opposed to this is the creator of all that there ever was and it and will be. And it's like he just says ask, you know. So I think we just limit him with our imaginations or how we view ourselves or even how we view him, you know. He's the great I am.
We're limited by our natural knowledge a lot of times.
Where we've been trapped, you know, inside here for, you know, all our lives. And we're trying to overcome that fleshy thinking in place of thinking as sons of God.
That's right.
Or have the faith as a child and just ask because he's a father and he's going to do it.
I see it. Go to God like a child. Hey, Daddy.
Yeah, really.
I got this problem back here.
And just tell him.
Yeah. Tell him. I know you can handle it. Yeah. He'll do it. He'll do it.
I think that's the other thing, is coming to him as a child. You just mentioned that. That's the secret.
Yep.
Not being the adult, not being the wise one, coming in as a little child.
Yeah.
Because Jesus says, except you be as one of these little ones.
Yep.
And he meant that. He says he's talking about having to go back and become like a child in thinking.
Amen.
He said that, and it's like, unless you are like a child in your mindset and all that, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. And I think we've all entered the kingdom of heaven, and we're trying to take our land now, you know, taking all of the land, all the promises, and it's growing and overcoming, but still having that faith as, this is my dad, you know, he can do anything.
That's going to be the secret to tapping into this power.
Amen. Well, just think of it like this. When Claire and Rion's kids and Phil and Lana's kids come to them and they get hungry, they know and they trust that Mama's going to feed them. Mom and Dad's going to feed them. That's the way God wants us to come to Him, knowing that He's going to help us out. Yes. Trust Him for everything. Sometimes we have that McDonald's mentality where we want to pull up to the drive-thru, get us a burger, and go on. When God says, well, wait a minute, let's talk about this. Let me show you my trust, and I'll show you what I can do for you. Just trust Him implicitly, and that's where the faith comes in. That's where the test and the trial comes in, and we fight with that sword He's given us. Yeah, you know, just stuff. Go ahead, Andrew.
You know, I remember being a kid once, and you used to brag on your dad. You used to say, well, my dad's better than your dad. and you'd bring up things, you know, on what your dad did and stuff. And, you know, we got the best dad ever. You know, we should brag on our dad. He's the almighty. He's the creator of heaven and earth and everything that's seen and unseen, you know, anything you see through a microscope or through a telescope. So that's really neat, you know. They put the telescope in one portion of space, and then when they enlarged it and they looked at it, it wasn't stars. It was a bunch of galaxies, you know, millions of stars. So I don't know. I kind of remember thinking of things like that, even about God when I was a kid. So.
Michael, you're muted.
Oh, man, y'all should have heard that. That was some fine stuff I had then. Golly. You know, when the Lord said, let there be light, He never said light stop, did He? It's still going out there in the universe. It's still expanding the universe out there. That's our God. And if He can do that, He can do this little stuff for us down here. I'm telling you. He can do it. All right.
Michael, did you see Tracy's note in the chat?
I did. That's what I was doing. I was writing it down so I wouldn't forget it. Okay, well, let's pray for Tracy's cat and dog. The cat's got diabetes, the dog has cancer. Well, not anymore in the name of Jesus, because God fix that cat and that dog. In the name of Jesus, I command that spirit of diabetes off that cat and any other infirmity off of it. I command it to go from it right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that cat is covered by the blood of Jesus. And we command that cancer on that dog to go. The spirit of cancer, you go in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, that it is gone and it's all of the symptoms have gone with it in Jesus' name. We praise you, Father, that the cat and dog is going to last another 10 years in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord, that they have to feed it, not me. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Tracy, it's done, girl. Thank you, Lord. I know people get attached to the Lord. I had a little dog. Many dogs. Okay. Judy, did you have your hand up? Has Sue got her hand up or is she just talking? That's a yes or a no. Yes, she's got her hand up or no, she doesn't. Okay. Oh, help us, Jesus. Yeah. Help us, Lord. Okay. Back to the Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. More than all that we can desire in our prayers. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in it. That power that works in us is what created the earth, wasn't it? What created the universe. Amen. Okay, 21. Unto him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus unto all generations forever and ever. Amen. All right. What's your thoughts on that? Yes, Julie.
Just thinking and meditate on he is the life, he is eternal, and his resurrection, life, and power are in each and every one of us to speak and do whatever it is that he puts in our hearts that he wants to use us in. He lives in us. It's in him that we live and move and have our being. And it's just, you know, it's his resurrection, life, overcoming death, overcoming sin and death. That's what's in us. That's just one of those deep things to meditate on. It's like, that's what's in us, though. It's his creative resurrection, life, and power he's still creating through us. You're muted, Michael.
Technology. All right, Don, go ahead, brother. You're going to have to unmute, Don. Remember that? There we go.
There. I heard a story from a preacher years ago. He said he was walking down the street, and there's a skyscraper being built right there, and one of the young boys, he asked him, what are you doing? He said, well, I'm building a skyscraper. He just had a little menial job. I was thinking of that in regards to this verse. Lost my place. Let's see, what is it? Ephesians
3:21.
My feet, this thing went to chapter 2. No wonder. Unto him be the glory to the church and to Christ Jesus unto all generations forever and ever. Amen. I was just thinking of that glory. It kind of hit me was that verse in Habakkuk 2:14, I think it is. For the earth will be filled with the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Now that's big. That's accomplishing something very, very big. That's the end of something. You know, that's what we got to be thinking in that terms. Eventually, we're going to see this is going to happen.
Amen. And how does God
go and we're ahead, involved God. In this.
Amen. And how does God's glory get broadcasted unless it's through the church?
Yeah, that's it.
We're the body. The glory of God works through us. We're the hands, the feet. Yeah, go ahead, Judith.
I remember a dream somebody had. I don't know if it was David or if it was somebody else who had it, but it was about David. And they actually saw when he was speaking words of healing or whatever, they actually saw the words coming out of his mouth and into the air and going into people or something like that. And that's the words of God. And that's who's in us speaking those same words, but they actually saw it in the natural. They saw that those words going out of his mouth. And yeah, it's just power. This is powerful.
Amen. That's the way we ought to see it. That's the way our imagination ought to see it. When we speak, that power goes out. That glory of God goes out. Go ahead, Dave.
I was going to say exactly something like that because I was listening also about that glory where everybody's thinking about something like the transfiguration kind of glory. It's, you know, it's something you see from without, but actually it's from within. The glory is from within. It's Jesus Christ and the God the Father within us, because that's how the kingdom of God comes. It doesn't come with observation. It's within you. So what's going to be this glory is a full manifestation of Jesus Christ in you. Now that's that sonship. That's the sons of God that you're talking about, this glory in the church. And so who's manifesting that glory is the Holy Spirit in us. He's bringing us into that fruit to maturity. Then that's what we're looking at, is this maturity, the sons of God in the church. That's the glory of Christ. That's why it's in Christ, in the church, in Christ.
Amen. That's right. All right, anybody else want to add to it? All right, Rio.
There's a note here that says in the Greek that all generations forever and ever is actually all the generations of the age of the ages. And it just kind of puts a different spin on it. You know, it's unto the all the generations of the age of the ages. And it's kind of, that's where we're at, right? We're in the age of the ages at the moment. I just thought it's interesting to add it in there.
Yeah, okay. Unto all generations of the age of ages. Amen.
Yeah, I think that's the what's that version? You mentioned it the other day, just the New Testament. I think that's the way that ends. That he uses that a lot in that translation. Ages and ages, a number of times in that translation. The moment it escapes my mind.
Amen. I'm not sure, Don. I'm not sure what you're talking about, brother. Yeah, baby.
What this brings me back to is looking at Acts, when Peter was first talking, when they first all received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And he says in Acts 2:39, he says, "For to you is the promise, and to your children, to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord God shall call unto him." And he's talking about that promise is the Holy Spirit being poured out on them. That promise of the Holy Spirit being poured out on them and their children. That's the promise. So that ages of ages for generations is the baptism of the Holy Spirit to bring us into the kingdom of God.
The numerics is what I was thinking of.
Numeric?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uses ages of ages quite a bit, different places.
So again, we're looking at these two passages and we're thinking about other people, right? Listening and trying to bring this into focus of what it is this is talking about as far as the kingdom of God and what it means for them and for us. So the two things involved here is Jesus Christ in you, the hope of glory, and the Holy Spirit manifesting that the fullness of Jesus Christ in us. And it also talks about us going beyond what we imagine, can imagine and think for our prayers, highly even beyond that. So, or anything, and probably with the kingdom of God, I would assume, if we go back and look at that. Ephesians 21:20. Now, who's able to exceedingly above all we ask.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
So when we look at this, we have to realize that now unto him that is able to do, if we look at the first part of verse 20, and then we look at the first part of verse 21, unto him be the glory, both of those are referring to Jesus. So Jesus, I welcome correction, I'm just trying to understand. So Jesus is going to get the glory, but only because everything glorifies the Father, and Jesus has already glorified the Father. And the way we do that is through the power of the Holy Spirit.
It's also to separate a lot of the prosperity gospel preachers who would use that to say you can have, oh, you just imagine whatever you want and you can have it even more. But this is it's about the glory of Christ in you, not your own fleshly glory.
That's right.
He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think, if what we ask and think is unto the glory of Christ in us, not for our own glory.
Well, it seems like he's talking about two different things here too. 21 says, unto him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus. That's not, they're not talking about Jesus both times there.
That's what I thought.
Talking about the Father and the Son.
That's what I thought. I thought there's two powers. Yeah.
So, yeah, exactly. That's what I'm thinking I see. So when I see 20, I'm thinking when it's talking about him, it's talking about the Father again.
Yes.
And then when we look at verse 21, we're looking at he is glorified through Jesus. So when we manifest, yes. God is glorified.
If you look at that and there in the Greek is actually by Christ. So it's kind of saying glory in the church by Christ. So it's not two separate things. It's saying
a position.
It's the glory is in the church that has Christ in them, kind of. It's
because there's another church, right, that doesn't have Christ in them. There's the carnal church. There's the church
mm-hmm.
own means. So mm-hmm. unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly is God the Father. And then we've got unto him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus. So see I would like to know more.
I would think if we understand what the purpose of God in bringing Jesus Christ in the world was, is to create many sons. And that is through Christ. He's the image that we are being created into. So that's how we see how that's working in Christ. And if we know that's the seeing the end in view, essentially what David said, seeing the end in view, which is Christ in us, the hope of glory, which promises to bring us in that image of Jesus Christ. That's what the Father is doing. That is the purpose of this, of what we do. That's the purpose of end times, everything. It's all wrapped up into Christ being manifested in us and bringing us in the image of Christ and then bring us up in a body as believers into the kingdom of God in the image of Jesus. But if somebody else can add to that, it'd be fine.
Go ahead, Judy.
The scripture that was coming to my mind is in John chapter 15 about abiding in the vine. And verse, start with verse 6.
If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, and so shall ye be my disciples. And it's about obeying the Lord in everything that we know. That's what glorifies him. I'm trying to think where the scripture is in Isaiah chapter 53, where it talks about the crucifixion of Christ, and it is about bringing many sons into glory. He will see the travail and be pleased with what he suffered, because he'll see the fruit being born. His seed will carry on. His seed will continue in us. And it's about bringing many brethren to glory, bringing many sons into the kingdom. That's what he died to do, all that, to plant his seed in us, to grow and mature, and to be like him. But that's how the Father is glorified, through us, as in our obedience, in our growth, and just, we want the Father's will. So again, it's not that prosperity gospel thing, ask whatever you will to have whatever you want. It's like, I'm only going to ask what I know my Father is putting in my heart to ask for and to do, knowing the difference of what my will is and knowing what God's will is.
Yeah. Okay. Anybody else? Somebody peel some more back off this one. What about it, Andrew?
There's that verse in Mark 11:22-23, where you would replace those words like whoso with yourself or a group of us, like UBM. So, I could say that you could probably read it this way. Amen, I say unto you that whatsoever UBM shall say to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in their heart, but shall believe that what UBM saith cometh to pass, UBM shall have it. Therefore I say unto you, all things whatsoever UBM pray and ask for, believe, and UBM receive them, and UBM shall have them. So, we're one body with Christ, and the Lord looks after us, and there's one God who is over all, in all, and through all. So we've seen huge answers to prayer in the past on items that we've asked for, where the election in America would go away some way that the Lord would want it to go, and we prayed for that too, and it did go that way. And we know and pray for the Red Sea to come. Interesting thing on that Babylon, and when Medo-Persia went to go and conquer Babylon, there was also water involved there, where the Euphrates River had to come down, and the gates were left open for them. So not only is there a Red Sea with Egypt, but there's a, which involved water, but also there's a great Euphrates River there that has to be drained for Cyrus and Medo-Persia to gain entrance into Babylon and have a victory. So, it just so happens that river is mentioned even again in the future, in the book of Revelation. So those things have to come to pass in order to bring about the rest, the millennial rest. So we have quite a bit to look forward to, because all these are God's word and God's promises, and God's going to use those people in the future to have that all come to pass. They're going to speak forth it, and those witnesses are going to do that, and they're going to have the former and latter rain, and we need to have the Lord with us constantly. We have to thank him. It's just really nice that he blesses us, and then what he blesses us with, he gives us the ability to bless him back with it, to be that child of God, son of God that we're supposed to be. So yes, it's Jesus, but isn't the whole idea of this is to try and come out of ourselves here and to be in that one we're supposed to be in anyway? So we can all discuss about Jesus, but it's high time that we have to start thinking in a different form here, but that it's Christ in us. So a future thing is happening, and there isn't really any other place a person can go to but Jesus, and to find the fellowship of like-minded believers. So God is gonna deteriorate what is the left of that church now, and uplift a new church, a powerful church, the ones who come out of her, my people. So that's, if I said something wrong there, then, you know, I don't think I did. So we got to start thinking on these items. We got to start having our looking up properly and setting our hearts and minds upon the Lord, and just how mighty he is, you know. And if we need to be courageous in the future, we have to be. There's no other place we can go. It's high time that we give the glory to God, just like we were told. Glory to God. Glory to God. Praise God.
Amen. Yep. All right. Anybody else? Pat McKnight asked that he's going to be gone, I think, all this week and next week, or maybe it's, how long has he been gone? A week? Just a week, isn't it? He's got another week to go. But when he comes back, he wants to discuss an item that he sent me, and that item was this. Did Jesus have a sin nature when he was born? So y'all be researching that, what you think about it. I know what a lot of the denominations think, and that's the mainline way, but that's really, let's just study it and see what you think. There is a correct answer. And that's not for tonight, that's for next time, a couple of weeks from now. Yeah, Dave.
I was wondering, is Claire around? You get, do you have something else you want to bring out on this? I didn't want to cut you off of an idea. I wasn't trying to.
I'm happy with everything we've discussed, and I think Rhiannon and I came to similar conclusions as to what was shared here. And I really am grateful for Andrew's comments.
Mm-hmm.
I still have a question, and it doesn't have to be for today. And I know I've listened to David's teaching on this a lot, but I come across more and more, I think I mentioned this the other day, I come across more and more people, well, actually, I've never met another person who doesn't believe in the Trinity or who doesn't see the Trinity as it's spoken of in mainline denominations. And so I would like to have a discourse about it. I'd like to chat about it. But if it's something that has been chatted about to death on here, because obviously I'm quite new, then I'm happy to not do it. But I'd love to chat about it because I do want to hear different ideas. Not different ideas. We've all got the same mind in Christ. But I'd like to be emboldened in real time because that teaching of David's from so many years ago is quite difficult to listen to. It's poor in quality and there's lots of stuff that happens in the background, and I've tried to transcribe it and I've tried to listen to it and I've tried to do my own studies, but I'd really appreciate just the saints coming together and chatting about it because I think that's probably going to be the big thing coming forward, is people who don't believe in that are just, you know, if you say that out loud, you're going to look like a heretic. So we're in my life, I don't know what it looks like in the US. Maybe there are a lot more.
Well, the Trinity is an idol.
Yeah, it's a complete man-made thing, and I'd love to talk about it, and I'd love to have everyone's let's do warfare on this, because I think it is something that makes a lot of people stumble and it takes their power away in Jesus. And they don't understand what the Holy Spirit is. They don't understand who Jesus is in them. And they don't understand that who, and it happens in everything. It happens in hymns. It happens in praise and worship. It happens in sermons. It happens in what people think happen inside of them when they get baptized, or what happens when they have their salvation experience. They don't think about repenting. So it's all of that stuff that I would love to chat about, if that's possible. But
David has that study you're talking about transcribed already. It's on the site. It's called Jesus Only, or Trinity, Jesus Only, or something else.
Oneness.
Oneness, Trinity.
Oneness, okay. Okay, Oneness, yeah. Trinity, or something else.
Or Truth.
But it would be good to talk about it anyway, right?
I don't guess we've ever talked about it here, have we? Have we? Well, sure we did. Yeah, I remember.
You know, it'd be nice to have somebody that believes in the Trinity to come on, but they're already offended if you're not going to believe in it, so you won't ever get them to really talk about it to come on.
It seems like it's so bad that if you even question it, people immediately, that like literally, I've had somebody push me away with her hand, literally push me away. If I say, do you believe in the Trinity? That's all I asked. And I try to ask her, what does she mean by that? And it's like they can't. And because I've got this unbeliever coming to my house on Tuesday, like I would love to have this fresh in my head. I don't want to feed her trash. I don't want to tell her, like she could talk to anyone over the weekend and say, oh yeah, the Trinity. And then what am I going to, you know, I want my ducks in a row, and I'd love, not that I think you need to put my ducks in a row. God will put my ducks in a row.
It doesn't necessarily mean you got to take that conversation on, though, right then.
No, I know, and I hope it doesn't come up. And hopefully if you teach it right the first time, you don't get sidetracked.
One thing that we need to bear in mind, it's not going to keep people from going to heaven to believe either way. But if we want to be right, we need to get it out there. Yeah, Julie.
Claire, one of the best scriptures I came across to kind of refute that is how Jesus referred to God himself and his relationship to him. And that's in John 20, verse 17, where it says, this is where after he had rose from the dead, and he had a conversation with Mary. Verse 16 says, Jesus saith unto her, Mary, and she turned herself and said unto him, in Hebrew, Rabboni, which is to say, teacher. And Jesus said to her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended unto the Father. He called him the Father. But go unto my brethren and say to them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and my God and your God. So that was the relation. I mean, that was how he saw. That was how he viewed the Father was greater than him. And how can there be a trinity of equal? They say it's equal, the three in one, where there has to be, God is first and foremost. He's the Father. He has a Son who came first. So there's not an equal. And he surrendered. He submitted everything to his Father. He submitted his whole life. He surrendered his whole life, even unto death, in obedience to his Father. I mean, how is that?
The other thing that I've noticed, and I'm so glad you brought that up because that's one of my favorite verses, but in the when the Gospels explain Jesus' baptism, there were three distinct entities there. There was God's voice, there was Jesus in the water, and there was God's Spirit that descended like a dove. I mean, those are three separate things with three separate roles. And they cannot... Yeah, so I just, but even when I say that, it's like, it doesn't, and I know it's not a salvation issue, but I just, like, my heart is there for people to just feel, like, know what you're doing, because you're going to get more power.
The stumbling block comes in with people is that when they hear you say, you don't believe in the Trinity or oneness, is that they hear you say that you don't believe that Jesus is God. Well, and then they start... And that for them goes, okay, well, whoa, what kind of belief are you in? So there's oneness and there's Trinity and then
truth,
you know, and then what the Bible says, which doesn't talk about any of those things. But if you say that you don't believe in the Trinity or oneness, they hear that Jesus, you know, Jesus isn't God, or that we can be then God, which then becomes Mormonism or whatever that is. So it just creates a lot of confusion. And I think that's, Michael, that's why you say it's not a salvation issue, but it's important because it does rob you from realizing that you have Christ in you. Because when you get rid of this nonsense of the Trinity and oneness, you then are able to pray like Jesus prayed to the Father, and you're able to have the power and authority of Christ in you. If you don't, then you won't, if you believe that it's in the oneness, then you can't say, well, I have God living in me and the Holy Spirit and, you know, all of that. And they make yourself at the same level. It becomes very, very lascivious then, and you just nobody. And I think that's where the confusion comes in.
Yeah, Julie.
I was thinking that too, and then you said how you pray, and I've heard people pray to the Holy Spirit. I've heard people pray to Jesus because they think they're praying to one, you know, that one God, and they can pray that way, you know. And I, you know, in our ignorance, we all make mistakes that way. But again, people aren't reading the Bible for themselves to learn if what they hear is true. I always believe in the Trinity too because that's what I was taught. I just assumed it was right, you know, but then when I got listening and studying and putting two and two together and putting up the scriptures together, I'm like, no, it's not true. But it's just a spirit of, you know, it's a religious spirit, and they got to defend what they believe, like Rian was saying.
I was going to bring up, I'm glad you mentioned the spirit, because you remember when David came out of the Oneness Church, when he got that revelation and the spirit went out of him, he was possessed by that oneness spirit. Same thing with the Trinity people that are dogmatic about it. Same thing. It's a spirit.
Well, they pretty much tell you when they teach you about the Trinity, anybody teaches you something other than that, they're pretty much just like Antichrist. They are from Satan. To reject them, you know, so get away from them, because they're going to lead you down to the, you know, it's Satan talking.
That's exactly right. That is exactly what it is. There's such a pervasive Trinity culture that if you believe anything else, no, sorry. And in Australia, like they come out against people like that, like badly, like even the mainstream media, who doesn't even care for Christianity, will have something to say about that. It's very interesting.
But if you go to the websites of almost every single church and you click on the about link, the first paragraph would say, "We believe in the Trinity." You know, it's so
statement of faith.
Yeah,
the statement of faith. Yeah.
Amen. Well, we could talk about that Tuesday night. How's that? Would everybody read up on it? And we'll hash that one out Tuesday night. The doctrine of the oneness, Trinity, or something else. Amen.
Truth.
Huh?
Trinity, oneness, or truth.
Okay.
The truth.
That's what he has on there. That's not the name of it, is it?
Oh, that's what I thought I saw on the website.
Is that what it is? Well, they changed it because it used to be oneness, Trinity, or something else is what it used to be. So if I change it, that's fine.
Oh, well, no, I don't know. No, I don't know. I'm not sure. And that's what I saw a long time ago.
You come on there and said that. What are you talking about? You don't know. Now you're saying that.
Because that's what I thought I saw, truth.
That's okay. Yeah, it could be. I don't know. You know, they're changing a lot of stuff.
I'm going to look that up.
I probably got it over there somewhere printed out, but I ain't going to look for it.
Oh, you said it was a transcript. I was talking about an audio.
I'm talking about the transcript.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, I was talking about the audio. My bad.
Yeah. You're bad. Why are you bad? You're not bad because of that.
I'm sorry. That's just a figure of speech. Sorry.
I know. I get my grandkids say that a lot. My bad. That's what you're talking about. All right. That's a generational gap there, Barbara, between you and I guess. I don't know.
No, I pick it up from my kids.
Do you?
I'm around my kids too.
Okay. There it is. Got it up there, Greg, for you. One is Trinity or Truth. Okay, that's the audio. Okay. There is a transcript of it somewhere on there too. Well, it looks like we've gone through another night tonight. It's been pretty interesting. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for all the healings. Thank you, Father, for the study we're going to do for Tuesday night, too. Lord, bless everybody to read up on it and study about it and get their word out and start doing like Andrew said. Let's start being like Jesus, walking like Jesus, talking like Jesus. And thank you for that, Lord. We're looking for great and mighty things here shortly. Lord, we know that there's going to be some tough times ahead for those who don't know you, but it's going to be a glorious time for those who do know you and understand that are disciples and believers. And Lord, we just ask and we pray for your strong words, Lord, to us and lead us, show us how to be led by your Spirit, Lord. To those who don't know, Lord, and we just thank you for that. That's going to be an awesome need in the days ahead, is to be led continually by your Spirit. And I think David's already mentioned that a couple of times in some of the studies, is to, we need to draw nigh unto you, Lord, and to allow you to guide us and lead us into these things that you want us to do, and to spend time with you if we don't spend time with you, how are we going to know what's going, what we need, you know, what we need to do? And Lord, place that in our hearts to get in that still, into that place of where we can just have a good time with you, Lord, every day. Sacrifice, show us, if we need to sacrifice our time, we need to sacrifice our time to get in there with you, Lord, and to learn the things that you want us to know. Thank you, Father, for being our God. You're such a gracious and merciful God to us, Lord. There's not enough adjectives to describe you, Lord. Nothing there big enough. I mean, your grace just far exceeds anything that our little peanut brain can comprehend, Lord. And we thank you, Father, for being that grace poured out on us and your mercy poured out on us, Lord, and your power and your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father, for all the work you're doing in everybody here. Thank you for all the healings, Lord. It's already taken place. Thank you for little Jonah, little 7-year-old Jonah, that he's healed, delivered, and set free. And the shunts have been taken out of his brain. Thank you, Lord, that Kathleen's daughter is healed. Her ankles are healed completely. Thank you, Lord, for all the rest of the healings to have already taken place. In Jesus' name. Thank you for the man-child that's coming, Lord. Let that anointing be quick, Lord. We need him so badly. We need his direction. We need his wisdom that you're going to give him, Lord. We thank you for that. Thank you, Lord, for the revival that's coming also. Because I know when bad times hit, people want to hit their knees, Lord. That's the time. But I know when it starts, it ain't going to stop. And Father, we just praise you. And thank you for all that's accomplished in each and every one of us. Give us all a good night's sleep tonight. And thank you, Lord, for being with us and protecting us and providing for us in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. God bless y'all. Let's see. I think I unmuted everybody.
I did. Amen.
Amen. Good night.
Thanks, Michael. Good night. God bless you, brother.
Amen. Amen.
God bless y'all.
Bless everyone.
Yeah, like a slapper, Joe.
Amen,
That's good.
Amen.
I love y'all.
Okay.
Love
y'all.
Bye. See you.
Love you. Bye bye.
Bless y'all.
Night. Good morning,
Duck tape, Greg. Bye. Duck tape.
Morning, Malcolm.
Good morning, brother.
Broad-eyed, bushy-tailed.
Yeah, yeah. You ought to be able to get warm now, Malcolm. The fire's getting close.
Well, hey, I was out here trying to pick up pine cones and whatnot. There's all kinds of ash, all kinds of really? Partially burned pine needles and bark and everything else falling down.
Oh, my. Well, I've always found pine needles and pine cones to be good fire starters.
Yeah, especially if they're hot already.
Yeah, and if you can find pine knots, that's even better.
I think the squirrels like those.
Pine knots?
Yeah, they pull down the pine, they get the pine cones, and then they dig the nuts out.
Yeah. No, I said pine knots, K-N-O-T-S.
Oh, no, those are terrible when I'm trying to split.
Oh, my.
Drive me nuts.
And it wouldn't have to drive far. It wouldn't have to drive far, would it, Malcolm?
Nope, no.
Y'all be
yeah,
blessed.
For,
we'll see
for pine knots, you need a good wood splitter.
No, you don't. All right, y'all be blessed. We'll see you.
All right, good night.
Good night, Malcolm. Bless you, brother.